From the University of Texas at Austin, KUT Radio, this is In Black America.
The great part about our company is that, you know, I'm the editorial side and Shelley is a technology genius.
Okay.
So she's our chief technology officer. So she knows the technical aspects of what it takes to get a site launched. So we found a wonderful development company called Matchbox Design Group out of St. Louis. And we sat down with them about a year and a half ago and really outlined what we wanted our platform to look like and what sort of features we wanted it to have. And they built the destination for us. And then, you know, Shelley and I just talked about what type of content that we wanted to create. So, you know, we've been very fortunate. We have editorial teams in Los Angeles, New York, and Atlanta, and D.C. And we also have video teams in those markets as well. So currently we're producing about 15 to 20 pieces of new editorial content each day.
Angela Burt Murray is a dynamic talk show host and editorial director for CocoFab.com, the premier entertainment and style network for young women of color. As the former editor-in-chief of Essence magazine, she has covered hard-hitting investigative reporting, political elections, and women lifestyle issues, as well as interviewed a range of personalities from President Barack Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama to supermodel Tyra Banks and Jada Pinkett Smith. Burt Murray has also held leadership roles at Teen People and Honey magazines and is the co-author of the novel The Vow. CocoFab.com is a website for women of color that cover everything from pop culture, celebrity news, style, and beauty. The site is part of Coco Media Group, a company led by Burt Murray along with her business partner and leading digital media strategist, Shelley Jones Jennings. I'm Johnny O. Hanson, Jr., and welcome to another edition of In Black America. On this week's program, CocoFab.com with co-founder and editorial director Angela Burt Murray, In Black America.
I think that they've been very interested, particularly because if you're trying to reach African-American women,
okay,
she is completely digital.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's, you know, surfing her favorite website for headlines or buying things using her mobile phone or communicating on social media platforms with her tablet, this is where this woman is. And she's, again, going back to what I was saying earlier, she's a trendsetter, she's influential, she's somebody who makes big ticket purchase decisions for her family. So she's definitely somebody that marketers want to reach. And so they have to start looking at these digital opportunities to integrate their brands in very authentic and interesting ways.
Angela Burt Murray is the co-founder and editorial director for Coco Media Group, a new digital media company that launched CocoFab.com and CocoFab.tv to feature entertainment, style, and original web series for young women of color. Born and raised in Pomona, California, she graduated from Hampton University in Virginia in 1992 with a degree in finance. She intended to work on Wall Street when she moved to New York after graduation, but her first work experiences helped her realize that she was ill-suited for a career in banking or investment services. As a young adult, she remembered her grandmother stimulating her interest in books and writings when she was a child. In August 2005, Burt Murray became editor-in-chief of Essence magazine. In November 2012, along with her business partner, Burt Murray launched CocoFab.com. CocoFab.com is a fast-paced celebrity news and style site covering urban pop culture.
Life was good in Southern California. Great weather, great people. You know, it was really, really good. I went to an all-girls Catholic school, couldn't wait to get out of there, and then headed east over to Hampton University in Virginia. So, you know, I really found myself at that HBCU.
What were some of your favorite subjects while you were in high school?
English was always, you know, something that I was, you know, really passionate about and, you know, ultimately has influenced me a great deal in becoming a journalist. And, you know, I think that, you know, learning to write and learning to express yourself is, you know, something that's very important for young people to develop as a skill and not necessarily something that people emphasize these days. Certainly in the age of texting and tweeting and posting to Facebook, you know, there's something definitely being lost.
Yeah, I'm noticing that a lot of this generation doesn't have a good grasp of the English
yes.
language and spelling and things of that
yeah,
nature.
Yeah, and their communication is very casual. So, you know, I've had interaction with young people who mm-hmm. are approaching me about, you know, interning at CocoFab.com or, you know, wanting to write for other outlets, and their communication via email is basically like a text.
Right.
So, first of all, you don't know me like that.
Exactly.
Second of all, I'm going to need to see in this first, you know, communication from you that mm-hmm. you do have a basic understanding of grammar
right.
and spelling, and that you know how to, you know, have an intelligent conversation. So I think sometimes, you know, kids are just a little too casual, and because that's how they communicate with their friends all the time.
What was the attractiveness of Hampton to get you out of Southern California?
Oh, wow. Well, you know what? Being in Southern California, going to an all-girls school, there were only three black girls mm-hmm. in my senior class. So for me, it was really about getting to know myself as a young black woman and okay. to be around other African-American students who were really trying to move their lives forward. So my parents blessed me with a tour to go see several HBCUs on the East Coast. And, you know, when I first stepped foot on Hampton's campus, I felt like I was home. And it was, you know, an amazing experience, again, to be in the classroom for the first time with, you know, an entire student population that looked like me, and to have really robust and powerful conversations about our history and our culture, and, you know, just seeing this, you know, entire population of strivers and achievers, and, you know, the parties weren't bad either.
I understand that. Now, you had an interest in English, but you majored in finance. Tell us about that.
I did. I thought I wanted to go into investment banking, but that was not to be the case. I think I was probably the worst finance major in Hampton University history. And so I did not ultimately pursue that. After I got married, I moved to New York with my husband and started mm-hmm. really exploring publishing, and got an internship at a local Manhattan newspaper, unpaid internship, just to kind of get my feet wet. Started taking some classes at NYU at night because I hadn't taken any journalism courses. And then my first magazine job was at a small publication called Black Elegance, where there were like five people there. And, you know, the good news is there's only five people, so you get exposure to everything. And that was a really great experience. And then I just kind of worked my way through the publishing cycles in New York City, and it's been a wonderful, wonderful experience.
I understand. If you're just joining us, I'm Johnny O'Hanson Jr., and you're listening to In Black America from KUT Radio, and we're speaking with Angela Burt Murray, talk show host and editorial director for CocoFab.com. Ms. Burt Murray, when did you come to Essence? I think you came there twice.
Yes. After I left Black Elegance, I went over to Essence to work in the fashion and beauty department, and that was my first time at the magazine, and I was there for a couple of years, and it was an amazing experience getting the opportunity to work in that department and really develop as a writer and editor. And after I left Essence, I moved over to Teen People to be beauty director. And then I left Teen People to go to Honey Magazine as the executive editor for a couple of years. Then I went back to Teen People. So publishing is a very interesting world where you kind of, you know, bounce around to magazines, and sometimes you end up at the same magazine more than once. So I went back to Teen People as executive editor for a couple of years, and then the opportunity came up to be the editor-in-chief of Essence, which I was for 5 years.
As a journalist working mm-hmm. in the magazine industry,
yep.
is there much difference between magazines other than the content?
I think there is. I mean, there's obviously the content is the biggest difference, but
mm-hmm.
I think also when you talk about audiences,
okay.
particularly the African American audience, I think that when it comes to publications that target African Americans, we are filling a void in many ways. I think, you know, when you look at a magazine like Essence, it has a wonderful opportunity to not only entertain its audience with fashion, beauty, and celebrity news, but also to inspire and educate and motivate that audience to, you know, be able to live a better life and, you know, to report on the things in our community that we feel like the mainstream media is ignoring. So I think that's one of, you know, the really interesting things about African American publications in particular.
Do you believe mainstream magazines somewhat marginalize the African American women experience in this country?
Oh, absolutely. I think that, and I don't think that you would necessarily just say that that's magazines. I think when you look at, you know, the general market media as a whole, there is a challenge with the authentic representation of our stories and our voices, and that can be attributed directly to what the newsroom looks like, whether it's the masthead at a magazine, the newsroom at news station, or, you know, the newsroom at a newspaper. If you don't have people of color in the story meeting, behind the camera, as the producers, you're not necessarily going to be aware of the perspective that is missing. And so I think that's why it's so important that you have organizations like NABJ, which we're both a part of, that really push to try to get more African Americans into newsrooms and to be able to tell our stories from a much more authentic perspective and, you know, to do a deeper dive around the issues that we really care about.
I also understand that you're a published author.
Yes. I wrote two books with Deneen Milner and Mitzi Miller. The first one was a humor book called The Angry Black Woman's Guide to Life. The second one was The Vow, which was a novel. And I have a new mystery series coming out in June called Games Divas Play, which is about a magazine editor that solves crimes. So I'm really excited about that coming out in June.
How did you happen to come up with the idea with CocoFab.com?
Well, my partner, Shelley Jones Jennings, and I, we worked together for several years at Essence, and we were talking about some of the holes that we thought we saw in the digital landscape. You know, there's been a lot of investment and conversation around large-scale destinations online for women in the general market, but very little investment around digital properties for young women of color, which is surprising given their level of rabid engagement in online entertainment, video consumption, and social media platforms. So we felt like there was an opportunity to create something that would be new and compelling for this audience. And so last year we launched CocoFab.com. A couple months later we launched our video portal, CocoFab.tv. And about a month ago, we launched CocoStyle.com, which is our fashion, beauty, hair, and home destination. So, you know, we've been really excited not only by the feedback that we receive from young women of color who, you know, enjoy our content, but also from advertisers who are excited about having a platform to reach this audience as well. So it's been a great journey that my partner, Shelley Jones Jennings, and I have been on.
It's one thing to have an idea. It's another thing to bring it to fruition and reality. Walk us through that process of actually getting the website online.
Well, you know, it was the great part about our company is that, you know, I'm the editorial side and Shelley is a technology genius.
Okay.
So she's our chief technology officer. So she knows the technical aspects of what it takes to get a site launched. So we found a wonderful development company called Matchbox Design Group out of St. Louis. And we sat down with them about a year and a half ago and really outlined what we wanted our platform to look like and what sort of features we wanted it to have. And they built the destination for us. And then, you know, Shelley and I just talked about what type of content that we wanted to create. So, you know, we've been very fortunate. We have editorial teams in Los Angeles, New York, and Atlanta, and D.C. And we also have video teams in those markets as well. So currently we're producing about 15 to 20 pieces of new editorial content each day and about 5 to 7 new videos each week. So, you know, it's a well-oiled machine right now, but we're also, you know, really excited about getting into other areas of content like reality, TV, scripted series, and things like that. So we've got a lot on our plate for 2014.
I understand. And taking a snapshot of the website prior to this conversation, where do you all find the content?
Where do we find it?
Yes.
Well,
other than the ones that you all produce, I see you have an exclusive interview with my cousin from Miss Tankard, Brooklyn.
Oh, nice. Yes.
And so I'm particularly interested in listening to that conversation. Having the exclusive interviews and the top stories. I mean, obviously someone is somewhere combing through cyberspace and getting all this information.
Yeah. I mean, we work with a great team of, award-winning journalists, around the country. So they're constantly out looking for stories that we can write about, but also interfacing with the publicists and movie and TV studios to, make sure that we have the right access to the people like the Tankards so that we can talk to them about their hugely successful show. And, we're brainstorming and coming up with different ideas. And then sometimes we have advertisers that come to us and say, we're looking for a video series around this sort of content. What sort of ideas do you have? So, what I love about what I do is just the opportunity to be, creative and to come up with ideas and to be plugged into, the pop culture conversation. So we have a really good time.
How important is it for you all to step back and look at the big picture and don't become consumed with the gratification and success of the now?
I think Shelley and I are both Leos, so we are very, very aggressive in our vision for what we want our company to be. And I think that because we serve an audience that is so influential in terms of what's trending and what's popular and what people are talking about, it's always incumbent upon us to stay ahead of the curve. So, we don't take our audience for granted, and we know that we have to keep coming up with new ideas. We have to keep posting new content. And we also have to do things that are unique and compelling that people can't see anywhere else. So I think that that's what keeps motivating us and allows us to not just be happy with what we've done so far.
Now, as a journalist, as you know, you get tons of emails.
Sure.
And just so happened, I received an email with Vanessa Bell Armstrong, yourself.
Yeah.
And a star-studded launch of a digital series in the company of friends. Is that you all?
Yes. Yeah. Vanessa Bell Calloway, who everybody loves.
That's Armstrong Calloway, right.
Oh, yes. Everybody loves her. She's had an incredible career, and she produced a new digital series called In the Company of Friends, which is a dinner party series that she shot in her home in Hollywood, where she invited some of her celebrity friends over to have some provocative conversations and a wonderful meal. So it's a great show that she launched last November, and we're just really proud and honored to have the opportunity to feature that on CocoFab.com. And that was an opportunity for Vanessa and I to partner together and take it to the advertiser ORS to be able to sponsor this show. And they were super excited about Vanessa, the celebrities that are on her show, and the opportunity to, really support something new and innovative in the digital space.
How prevalent now and in the future will these type of series come to fore? People are looking at television, but now, you can go to your computer and watch a series other than sitting on your couch watching something on television.
Well, I think that that's where the market is definitely moving. I mean, if you talk to any, marketer who's studying viewing trends and looking at the next generation, when you talk about these millennials, they really don't watch that much television in its traditional form.
So it's the mobility of the generations that we're seeing?
It's the mobility and them wanting to be able to access content whenever, wherever, and on whichever platform, whether it's their phone or their tablet or their laptop. And now you see they're coming out with watches where you can, watch content. So, this generation is really going to drive a significant change in the programming of content. And you see companies like Netflix and Amazon who are now getting into scripted series where you can buy the entire series on day one.
Okay.
So, you know, people's viewing habits have changed tremendously, and I think it's incumbent upon, you know, the folks in Hollywood to really understand that they're no longer in the driver's seat, which makes it exciting for, you know, small startups like us, because we can create, you know, web series for very little cost, but that are just as entertaining and interesting as some of the stuff on television, and our audience can watch it whenever, wherever, and however they want. So I think you're going to see a lot more shows like Vanessa Bell Calloway's and The Company of Friends coming very, very soon.
I understand. You mentioned the commerce part of the website. Mm-hmm. How receptive has the advertising industry been to mm-hmm. these types of websites?
I think that they've been very interested, particularly because if you're trying to reach African-American women,
okay.
she is completely digital.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's, you know, surfing her favorite website for headlines or buying things using her mobile phone or communicating on social media platforms with her tablet, this is where this woman is. And she's, again, going back to what I was saying earlier, she's a trendsetter, she's influential, she's somebody who makes big ticket purchase decisions for her family. So she's definitely somebody that marketers want to reach. And so they have to start looking at these digital opportunities to integrate their brands in very authentic and interesting ways. So I think you're seeing a lot of, you know, of those big brand name retailers, automobile companies, and other types of companies that are definitely taking a look at the digital platforms and trying to figure out how they can form strategic partnerships.
As a mother of teenage boys,
and
I'm quite sure some of your colleagues have teenagers in their household,
mm-hmm.
what are some of the pressing things as a mom
mm-hmm.
That kind of scares you now?
Well, I think, you know, when I think about social media and teenagers, it can be very, very scary because, you know, boys don't mature as, you know, quickly as girls. So, you know, they sometimes aren't making all the right decisions. And I think that when you look at a platform like, you know, social media, if
mm-hmm.
you're looking at Twitter, you're looking at Facebook, and you look at the impulsivity
right.
of teenagers, it can kind of be a little scary. So
mm-hmm.
a lot of the conversations that my husband and I have with our two boys are about the lasting impact that a, you know, bad tweet, a
mm-hmm.
bad Facebook post, or inappropriate photo, or any sort of thing, the lasting impact that that can have on your life. Because, you know, my kids are 14 and 13, so, you know, college is on the horizon. And, you know, we've talked to a lot of folks who have said that, you know, these college admissions officers are looking at the social media platforms of some of their applicants and making decisions
right.
about whether they're going to accept a student. So, you know, you don't want, you know, one impulsive moment where you were upset with somebody or you wanted to share something inappropriate with somebody. You don't want that to ruin their lives. So my husband and I, we spend a lot of time talking about social media. So you didn't have to deal with that. Your son is older now, and you probably didn't have to deal with that when he was going off to
college.
Well,
he's still a young adult, so, you know, he just started a Facebook, and we
mm-hmm.
had a conversation of, you know, some of the appropriate and inappropriate pictures
yes.
that one needs to put up. People are watching this, and
yeah.
and you need to be careful about what you post, because once
absolutely,
you post it,
absolutely, absolutely. I have friends who work in human resources
mm-hmm.
for, you know, a number of, you know, large companies, and
right.
they talk about how they've had to rescind offers to people
what?
Because something's come to light that
mm-hmm.
was on their social media platform. So people have to really be concerned about that, even as they, you know, go off into their 20s and 30s and, you know, are trying to build their professional career.
What are some of the things that are individual personalities that drive people to your website? Because sometimes
well,
you say, where did they get this stuff from?
Well, you know, it's interesting, you know, obviously, you know, people right now are particularly obsessed with Beyonce and this new album and, you know, how she's,
mm-hmm.
you know, changed the music industry. Gabrielle Union is also, you know, very popular for us. But also we've been getting a lot of traffic around our news content,
mm-hmm.
which is incredibly gratifying to me because I'm a news junkie
right.
and I, you know, love to be able to, you know, report on the stories that I think, you know, our community needs to know about, but also our video series. So we have a wonderful, you know, hair care video series with the actress Melinda Williams that is incredibly popular. Obviously, the Vanessa Bell Calloway show is also very popular on our site. So, you know, it's really gratifying each day to be able to give that immediate feedback from the audience on what they like and definitely what they don't like.
Now, what you haven't told us, understand that you're on a television program called Exhale?
Yes, yes. Magic Johnson launched a new cable network over a year ago, and it's called Aspire, and it's carried on Time Warner and Comcast.
Right.
And it's a new talk show called Exhale that features five African-American women, including myself,
right,
where we talk about the issues and topics that African-American women care about the most. And it's really exciting. And we're heading into season two of the show. And it's really exciting. We're happy to see it really taking off.
Before we run out of time, Ms. Burt Murray, what are some of the advice that you give when you have an opportunity to talk to young African-American women?
You know, it's interesting. One of the questions that I get most often when I go speak to young women is about how you balance career and family.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even young women who are in college and high school are thinking about those topics, even though, you know, they're years away from making that sort of decision.
Right.
But I think that they've seen their mothers and cousins and other women in their family kind of grapple with the idea of, can you have, you know, a wonderful career and also have, you know, a family and, you know, all of those things. How do you make it work? And, you know, one of the things that I tell them is that, you know, the partner you choose is really going to have a significant impact on, you know, whether you can do those things, you know, that you want to do and have a family. So it's important to figure out how you're going to make all of that come together.
Final two questions. How do you stay level-headed when you're intermingling with the Hollywood stars on a daily basis?
I don't think it's hard to stay level-headed that much because, you know what it is? I love what I do so much that a lot of it's just really fun. And I think that when you go into what you're trying to do with the right attitude of, I really love this, you can manage the drama, the pressure, the egos, and stuff like that, which is not to say that you're not frustrated sometimes by, you know, celebrities and their quirks.
Right.
But, you know, it's a lot of fun. And I tell people all the time, I think I have, you know, one of the best jobs in the world. It's a lot of fun.
Angela Burt Murray, co-founder and editorial director with CocoFab.com. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions as to future In Black America programs, email us at jhanson, H-A-N-S-O-N, at KUT.org. Also, let us know what radio station you heard us over. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or of the University of Texas at Austin. You can hear previous programs online at KUT.org. Until we have the opportunity again for technical producer David Alvarez, I'm John L. Hansen, Jr. Thank you for joining us today. Please join us again next week.
CD copies of this program are available and may be purchased by writing In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. That's In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. This has been a production of KUT Radio.